Hey, I want to do something real quick before we get started. I think every single one of us in some capacity have led, whether it be a conference, led an event, and we know the man hours that go into this, and in some cases, the sleepless nights. And so I want to take a moment to honor not only Nick, Joe, Mike Cuckler, Steve Saccone, Rusty, Joyce LeMaster, and so many others. So can you guys give them a hand for all your incredible work? You guys are amazing, man. And I want you to know I don't take these experiences lightly. When they had asked me to do this, I said, "Are you sure? Like, there's got to be another Blake, like an extension side operations. I don't know if you got the right Blake to choose from, but man, I want you to know that I don't take these moments lightly because, to be honest with you, I don't have the right to speak from a platform that I did not help build." So I just want you to know how much I appreciate this and how grateful every single one of us are. So we love you guys. We appreciate you. But today I want to talk to you about how we have created a healthy and effective practicum experience. And the reason I phrase it that way specifically, I don't want to emphasize a successful practicum experience, but I do want to leverage and utilize that terminology, a healthy and effective practicum experience, because your practicum can be effective. That doesn't necessarily denote health. You know, we can create successful and even effective leaders, but one of the things we cannot negate or even stir away from is developing healthy leaders. At the end of the day, healthy things will grow. And so that's what we want to help establish in the life of our students. And so what I want to talk about today is some systematic processes that we have put in place to really help us attain this in a way that, again, is not just effective, but more than anything, it's healthy. And before I jump into this, I also do want to say this as well. Some of the things that we have found is that our students value relationship so much more than information. If you read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, Paul is writing and he says, "Though you have 1,000 instructors in Christ, what you need are fathers." What does that mean to us? We found that our students don't care about how much we know until they know how much we care. And so when we can be intentional and sincere in our training operations, not just to see a particular outcome where they know how they can practice these things, but when they know that it's not just coming from an instructor's heart, it's coming from a father's heart. And so I think that it's important for us as we're training our students, though we don't stir away from or negate the importance of information, we have seen that when we emphasize the relationship that we have with our students, it has so much more long-term effects. But I just want to break this down for you today. When we're talking about creating a healthy and effective practicum experience, these are some of the things that we have found that are extremely important. Number one is clear vision. And I'm going to elaborate on each one of these today, but having a very clear vision. Number two, having measurable goals. Not just saying, hey, we're going to arrive, we're at A and we're going to be at Z, but what are steps B through Y? What are those measurable goals when we know it's not just, hey, we have arrived? How do we know that we are in fact arriving? And so it's clear vision, measurable goals, definable boundaries. And I'll elaborate that on a little bit more as well. But I can tell you that this is one of the most crucial components, not just for your students, but equally as important for your staff. Very clear and definable boundaries. But then number four, consistent feedback. I know Joe spoke into this a little bit as well. What I was talking about even yesterday in one of our lab or one of our breakouts, what you'll find with consistent feedback is that it is one of the most offensively beneficial elements to your practicum. And I want to break that down. One of the most offensively beneficial elements to your practicum, to where we have all of our surveys anonymous. And when it's anonymous, a student does not hold back. I can go ahead and tell you that right now. So it is offensively beneficial. But when we're talking about clear vision, For you, this, you can put your own language on this. For us, we want to help teach applicable ministry practices. Simple as that. We want to teach and help establish applicable ministry practicums. And so, or practices. And so for you, that could be in your own language. That really is contingent upon how your church operates. I don't want to try and put language in your mouth. But what I will say is this, approaches that we've taken for every single one of our staff members, every single one of our pastors, every single one of our instructors, we break that up into three very simple components. That's heart, that's head, and that's hands. What does that mean? For our pastoral staff, everything that they teach and deposit into our students is all a matter of the heart. It's culture, it's DNA, it's character, it's integrity, all of those things. So they stay in that very clear lane of matters of the heart. For our instructors, they're teaching everything about the head. You're helping grow a student's knowledge in the word, grow in the knowledge of academics. But then for our practicum leaders, they are doing everything with the hands. What does that mean? We tell our practicum leaders, I don't need you to go over the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. I need you to teach a student how to play the guitar. I don't need you to give theory. I need you to give fact. And with that, I will say a very important component for you, help teach students who you are and what you do. Don't teach them who you think you are and what you think you do. That is so important, because what can happen is, and I'll tell you, all of these things that I'm talking about, we have learned through a lot of failures. We've learned through a lot of failures where I can give you theory and, hey, I think this is the way it should be. What happens is this: a student is going to learn these things inside of their practicum, and then they're going to be submerged into your church's culture, and they're going to see a disconnect. So when you can deposit, this is who we are and this is what we do, here's the applicability of everything that you're learning, but it all boils down to clear vision. The second part of that, when you're talking about measurable goals, what does that look like specifically? For us, when we are mapping out our practicums, we consistently ask the same three questions, though we'll rephrase it based on who we're asking the question to. So for our practicum leaders, we ask the first question: what do they need to learn? What do they need to learn to do? And what value will be added because of what they've learned? What do they need to learn? What do they need to learn to do? And then what value will be added because of what they learned? Now, one of the things that we actually implemented about 2 years ago. In fact, we got the idea from Jordan Vail when he was at Meadowbrook. And I'm telling you, just a little quick side note, please don't think that like we have discovered all of these things in our own prayer closet and it came down like a rain of fire straight from the Holy Spirit. All of this came from conversations that we had with other Extension site leaders. So if I can encourage you to do that, tap in and leverage this experience that you have, not just today, but as you continue to move forward, ask questions. Ask questions, man. And so we got our syllabus idea from Jordan Vail. And so what that means is this: when we broke down what it is that we do, these measurable goals, we're defining what do I want a student to learn? What do I want them to learn to do? And ultimately, what value is this going to add because of what they learned? And from there, we're able to frame our syllabus, a 2-year syllabus, where we know exactly what a practicum leader is going to be teaching every single week. And I'll say this as well. Please err on simplicity, because you would rather your students become great in about 7 to 8 things rather than becoming mediocre in about 65 things. And so when you can err on simplicity, I want you to become great in these things right here. It helps create lanes that your staff and your students can land within. But we ask those questions: what do they need to learn? What do they need to learn to do? And what value will be added because of what they've learned? The third part about that, you can see this, the questions right there in case either you want to take a picture or write it down. But those are the questions that we consistently ask our practicum leaders as we're going back and evaluating what the semester looked like. But when we're talking about definable boundaries, what does that mean specifically? Let me tell you this right now, and this is something that we are still teaching our staff, and that is a staff's failure to plan does not become your student's emergency. What does that mean? In that practicum time frame, we create such clear boundaries where our practicum leaders know this is not your time to try and help grow your ministry. This is the time where you are depositing applicable ministry practices into the life of that student. You protect that time frame. Even our senior leadership knows if there's something going on in the church, you know, whether it's an emergency, whatever the case may be, and there is a phone call, there is nothing that's going to interrupt that time in the practicum. And so when you can create those very clear boundaries for your staff and for your students, primarily in this case right now, your staff, it's going to ensure that that practicum is going to win. And when you can clearly define what those boundaries are, therefore you can assess if the practicum is winning or it's not. Now that's in reference to the staff. Now for the student, what I'll say is this, for those clear boundaries that a student can operate in specifically, how we map this out during orientation is this. There are clear outcomes for the student when you're loyal to it. If you stay loyal and committed to this practicum, this is going to be your outcome. Now, on the other side of that, let me say that again. There are clear outcomes when you're loyal, but on the flip side, here's the clear outcomes when you're lazy. So what does that mean? There's not just discipline for bad behavior. There is also reward for good behavior. So we, how we've learned this the hard way, that I can't just bring about some discipline or a slap on the wrist when you haven't shown or you haven't done what you're supposed to do. But we're going to clearly map out, if you stay loyal to this practicum over the next year, 2 years, however long your program is, man, this is the definable, this is the clear outcome that you're going to walk away with. If you're in a pastoral practicum, you're going to know how to lead teams. You're going to know how to effectively communicate God's word. You're going to know how to put on a creative service at a fruitful event. You're going to know how to do these things right here if you're loyal. Now, if you are lazy, this is the repercussion of that. Now, for us, we also give some very strict boundaries in that as well, to where we make it very clear that a student is allowed 3 excused practicums every semester. Now, we do even elaborate on that a little bit more. Excused absences, where we, again, we've looked at some different things that other extension sites have done, where they have very effective repercussion practices. Now, what I would say is keep it Christian with that, you know. But when you can help them understand, you are just laying out the clear expectations. If you do this and you stay committed to it, this is the beneficial outcome. If you're lazy with it, this is the detrimental outcome. At the end of the day, you're wasting your time. But I want to deposit what it is that God has gifted me with into your life. But those are some of the frameworks that we establish definable, clear and definable boundaries. Now, the fourth thing with that is this, and that is the consistent feedback. The consistent feedback, not only from our students, but also our staff. Now, for us, what it looks like with our faculty or with our staff, we ask those same questions again. We ask it in this way. We say, we ask the staff member, what did they learn? What did they learn to do? And what value was added because of what they learned? So we're able to receive the feedback from our staff. But then on the other side, we ask the student the exact same question that we asked our staff. But rather than asking the staff, what did they learn? We now ask the student, what did you learn? What did you learn to do? And what value was added because of what you learned? What that does for us, that allows us to cross-reference and ensure that there's not a disconnect in what's being taught and what's being learned. Because when you're able to do that, we have actually seen a very effective outcome in this, because a lot of times the staff member said, man, this is what they learned. They learned the importance of healthy team leading. What they learned to do was learn how to lead a team meeting, and the value that they learned was ultimately how to empower people that are going to follow their leadership. Now then, when we get to the student, what did you learn? I learned data entry. I learned how to make an Excel spreadsheet. And so we're looking at this saying, hold on a second. The faculty is saying this, but the student is saying this. Where's the disconnect? Now, with that as well, when we make it mandatory for every single one of our students to give us that consistent feedback, and we know that if there are 15 students in that particular practicum, and 14 out of the 15 are saying, man, I learned exactly what the teacher said as well, or what the practicum leader said. I learned how to lead effective team meetings and all of that. But then you have one student says, yo, I just learned data entry. That lets us know 14 out of the 15 students are very pleased with how that practicum is operating. But at the same time, if we have 14 out of the 15 that are saying, no, the teacher may have said that we learned about leading healthy teams, but what we learned was data entry, that allows us to know how to go into that conversation with the faculty or with the staff member, and it's no longer a subjective conversation based on our opinion. No, this is objective based on the facts. And so when you can go in and get the feedback, the consistent feedback, not only from your staff, but also your students. And one of the things I'll say as well is, I'll upload this, I guess I'll send it to Joe, you. We actually created a review or an evaluation form of each individual student that asks 25 specific questions. I'm sorry, it's based on 25 different elements that make up the student. It's practicum ability, it's administration, it's behavioral, it's spiritual, and it's relationship. But it's inside of each one of those, there are five other criteria that comprise that particular review, such as things like etiquette, things like punctuality. Like, man, I know you can kill any worship song that Hillsong or Bethel has ever written, but you always show up 15 minutes late. And what happens is when we can teach these students, not just the hard skills, these things that you're gonna practice, we're gonna help also establish who you are. Because when I can teach you what proper etiquette looks like, man, you may be the most expressive and exuberant, outgoing individual. Don't ever change that, but you gotta know how to monitor and use those levels based on where you are. So man, when you're going out to a student life event and man, you're just absolutely turning up, like you are having a blast, you're loud, you're outgoing, you're connecting with everybody. You have that strength finder woo, like you are win people over in a drop of a hat. But when you're in the office setting, you need to tone that down a little bit. This is an office space. When you're in a meeting with senior leadership, you need to know how to compose yourself. And so when we can help them break these things down, our motto is very clear: excellence learned, excellence lived. We want you to learn excellence so that you can live a life of excellence. Our foundational scripture is Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Daniel distinguished himself because an excellent spirit was within him. Nobody else distinguished him. That was not the practicum leader. That was not the faculty member. That was not the senior pastor. That was Daniel that distinguished himself above the leaders, above the satraps and the administrators. But what happens is when we can take these things, when we can map out clear vision, when we can begin to map out measurable goals, definable boundaries, and ultimately get the consistent feedback from our staff, from our students, that not only empowers us, that empowers the student on how to live a life of excellence. And what we've found is this, the things that we have found that ultimately, these are the faculty feedback right here. I can go through that. What did they learn? What did they learn to do? But then it was student feedback. What did you learn? What did you learn to do? But what we have found is this. The outcomes that we have found, number one, is quality training. Quality training. Number two, and this is what we have found is a lot more important than what we originally thought, and that's believable advertisement. What does that mean? What we are communicating when we are recruiting students, we're saying, man, you're gonna learn how to do this, you're gonna grow in this. It now becomes believable based on the results. What we don't ever want to do is find ourselves over-promising and under-delivering. And so it's quality training, believable advertisement, trustworthy experience. And that even goes, like Dr. Mark Rutland expressed to us one time, he said, when you are looking, how do you define quality? That is just simply meeting expectation. Quality is just simply meeting expectation. And so when a student, after their first semester, they have a syllabus, they have this map out where the practicum leader is saying, this is exactly what I'm going to teach you. This is what you're going to learn. This is what you're going to learn to do. And this is going to be the value that's added to you because of what you've learned. That student knows, I can now trust this entire experience. The fourth thing, and this is paramount to me, staff accountability. Because at the end of the day, you can't be all places at all times. So when you can know, based on that feedback, are the practicum leaders doing exactly what they were supposed to do? This thing that they've committed to, are they actually abiding by the expectations that we've given? Are they operating within those definable boundaries? And if you're a English major, and you know any of this is grammatically incorrect, you can email me and I'll just forward it on to Joe or Nick. But it equips student at the end of the day, man. When we know that we have done exactly what Nick was talking about, Ephesians 4, we're equipping the saints for the works of ministry. When a student can walk away, I don't just have this knowledge about something, I now know how to do something. I can begin to practice this. And at the end of the day, when we have found that our students can grow in knowledge, and yes, that is important, but when they can learn to actually practice it with their hands, I believe that with Generation Z, we're dealing with one of the most active generations in all of history. Don't tell me about something, show me how to do it. Let me do it. I don't want to just watch you do ministry, I want to do ministry with you. I want to lead. I want to be able to do this. But these are some things, I hope this is beneficial to you. And honestly, we're in the process of still learning and growing on what to do. So I don't believe that we're there yet. We're still trying to grow. But I hope that this is beneficial to you in any way. And just so that you know, we're going to be uploading our syllabus and our review that we have based on those 25 criteria, those things that we review our students on. And I can tell you that that has been one of the most transformational elements that we've ever implemented inside of our program, because one of the things that we even have on there specifically is the student's countenance. That's one of the things that we measure on a scale from 1 to 10. And what that means is this, man, you can have the love of Jesus Christ residing within you, but you look like the Grim Reaper. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, you are weary right now, man. You are weary. But what happens is we're able to measure where a student is, not just academically, not just practically in the expression of ministry training, but man, who you are as an individual. Let me show you what I see, because at the end of the day, we need to rely upon the insight of our leaders. And when they can give us that feedback, we are equipping these students to go so much further than we ever thought was possible. We believe wholeheartedly that the next generation should be standing on our shoulders to attain more than we ever thought was possible. But that's all that I have. I hope this has been beneficial to you. And Joe,